Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place for everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, your host, founder, and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring a very special guest. His name is Sabir Semerkhan, and he's an e-commerce veteran. Like, this guy has done so many things when it comes to really providing value to the e-commerce community. He has generated over 1 billion in e-commerce sales, so that's not something that a lot of people can say. And he's the founder of Grow by Sabir, where they specialize on everything regarding how to transform the digital marketing and sales on platforms like Amazon and Shopify. And he's also the founder of a methodology called the 8D method, which I'm very intrigued to learn more about this methodology. It's a method that a lot of people have been talking about in the e-commerce community. And that's why I wanted to bring Sabir to the show today, because I know he's going to drop some heavy bombs to the e-commerce community and add a lot of value to you guys. So, Sabir, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show. Thank you so much for coming. How are you doing?
Vincenzo, thank you for having me on the show. And I would love to deliver as much value to your audience as possible so that they can learn more about the 8D method and how to 2x their daily sales in e-com.
Wow. I think everybody wants to in 12 weeks.
Yeah. If it takes, you know, anyone can do it over a long period of time. How about we do it in 90 days?
Yeah. I think people is really intrigued to learn that. I think that's a conversation whenever I go to events or to podcasts, like people want to learn like how to double their sales. It's something that, let's be honest, a lot of e-commerce founders struggle with. So I'm really intrigued to, you know, learn about what are some of those secrets you're going to share with us today. But before we jump into that, though, you have such an interesting background. You have done so much when it comes to providing value to the e-commerce community. So let's learn a little bit about who is Sabir and how you got started. Tell me a little bit about your journey. Share it with us.
Sure. At the very beginning, you know, I've been in this for 25 years. So
wow.
In the very beginning, I was, if you knew me 25 years ago, I was a computer hacker, computer scientist, not a business marketing guru that I am right now, right? That took 25 years. Prior to that, I've written millions of lines of code in Java, wow. C++, coding engineer, core, and a mathematician, right? So there came a pivot point. I'm actually responsible for a lot of lines of code, even like an American retailer, Macy's.com, TheStreet.com by Jim Cramer, and many. I've written my portfolio is equal to the portfolio I have on the e-commerce revenue growth side, you know, and that's my engineering side. But 25 years ago, what happened was I got involved with a brand, Vitamin Shop, right? They're well known. They're a vitamin retailer in the United States. They have some locations international also. The vitaminshop.com had gone bankrupt and it was bought out by the owner of Vitamin Shop back because they spun it off as a separate company and they pulled it back in, right?
Yeah.
And this thing was literally on the shelf in the warehouse, right? Meaning the servers were shut down. They bought the stuff from the court and they put it away. And through his network, they came in contact with me. I got involved, right? I even cut my finger moving the servers. That's how hardcore it was, you know. Back then, when I took it over, I was an engineer, so I was putting the servers back together. I got a hosting facility, I got a data center, got everything up and running. And then I went to Jeff Horowitz, who's the founder of the company of Vitamin Shop. I said, okay, who do I need to talk to do marketing so that we can bring traffic into this site? It was like, what do you mean? My network told me, you're the guy. He told me to just give you the stuff and you'll figure it out. I said, well, I'm an engineer, not a marketer.
Yeah.
So he goes like, well, I'm going to teach you. I've seen you, how you put everything back together and you know, everything is up and running and everything is phenomenal. I'm going to teach you the vitamin business. You are going to teach yourself some marketing, right?
Wow.
So I what I would do is Monday through Friday, I would work at Vitamin Shoppe, you know, trying to, you know, do the engineering side of it because I needed to do upgrades and updates and all sorts of technical things you do. And on the other side of it, on the weekends, on Saturday, Sunday, I would go to a gigantic bookstore called Barnes & Noble, right? And pick up marketing books because in college, I took anything that's related to business, just two, economics 101 and accounting 101. That's it. I had not taken any marketing course. So I would go on the weekends, pick up books, read it, and I started writing notes. Because back then, there was no e-commerce marketing book. It was all traditional direct marketing, traditional print marketing, retail marketing type books. So I picked up those things. I learned it. I said, okay, since there are no rules, because nobody else has written a book yet, so there's no rules, I'm going to learn all this stuff, and I'm going to see how this applies to e-commerce. And I literally learned it. And during the weekends, I would teach myself. And on during the weekdays, I would go into Vitamin Shoppe. And whatever I learned over the weekend, take my notes, and I would actually set up experiments because I was an engineer. To me, I don't take anything for granted. Like, exactly. You either test it and it works, or you test it and it does not work, and you need to change the parameters. That's it. Yeah. That's my engineering side of me, right? At my core. So I use that, and basically I kept on testing, learning, optimizing, testing, learn. So I took a bankrupt channel, but before it went bankrupt, it was $12 million, right? But when it went bankrupt, it was zero because I literally had to put the machine back together. It was down for months, right? While it was going through the court case, right?
Okay.
So I put it back together. I started implementing this, and that was my first time. And in 4 years, took it from $12 million to $52 million. At a day and age, there is no Facebook, no social media. None of that stuff existed. Old school stuff. In fact, I even beta tested Google. And when Google introduced Google Ads, I was one of the first people to deliver 1 million clicks to my e-commerce site. So they sent me a small Google refrigerator with a Google certificate that I had actually used their platform successfully to pass 1 million clicks. From Google AdWords back then. Yeah.
Wow. That's a crazy story. And to some extent, I connect with you as well because I also have an engineering background and I understand 100% where you're coming from, that we don't believe in theory. We have to test stuff. I do all that all the time.
Like, and no ego, by the way, Vincenzo. No ego. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if it's somebody's opinion. It's just a theory. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think to some extent, I feel when engineers really put their mind to something, especially in the marketing, like I have met a lot of other advertisers, like when they have an engineering background, to some extent, that's actually a big plus because, as you say, we really like to do a lot of split testing and we don't find the right outcome for business. And I think I'm sure that gave you a huge advantage compared to other people in the space, that you are not really taking things for granted, but you were implementing them, and based on the outcome, you were building on top of that. So that's a big plus.
It was constant testing. Test, learn, optimize. Test, learn, optimize. And Vincenzo, I have one rule in my life since I took on this life for the past 25 years. It's like every day I wake up, whatever my KPIs are for yesterday, I want to improve by 1%. That's it. It could be anywhere. It could be conversion rate. It could be bounce rate, improving it by 1%. It could be anything that I'm touching, 1% improvement, so that at the end of the day, I feel like I want to rehire myself. Or if I didn't achieve that goal, I want to fire myself because I didn't achieve that goal of bare minimum 1%. And as you know, like if you do that, and we have 220 working days in a year, right? That's when you go to a job and you do your work, right? Yeah. Even though I know that you have a lot of founders and entrepreneurs listening to this podcast, they work 365 days. So good for you, right? So if you do 220 days and you do 1% improvement, whatever you touch is going to improve 22x. If you do 365 days, it's 36.5x. So let's say we're humans. Both of those numbers, you can cut it in half. Call it margin of error, right? Mm-hmm. You can grow any business between 10x to 18x in 1 year. So can you do growth, 2x growth in 12 weeks? The answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah, mathematically. Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I think that brings me to you know, I want to start bringing to the conversation, you know, the methodology that you have designed, because I feel, and I'm curious, actually, I'm curious to really, also before we jump into the technicality of the AD method and everything, like what made you in the first place come up with this method? Is this something you had to design for your personal usage because you felt you were not growing as fast? Or like, tell us a little bit about what made you, you know, really come up with this methodology that is so effective. Like how you came up with the idea in the first place?
So I said, 25 years ago, it took me 4 years at my first try, right? Mm-hmm. To 4X a business, right? From 12 to more than 4X, 4.3X, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. From 12 to 52 million. By the way, I tried that second time and I crunched the time. I said, okay, can I do it faster? Because one part of engineering is that after you prove the theory that it works, you try to work on the time element to reduce the time, right? So I said, okay, let me try to reduce the time. Instead of 4 years, can I do it in 2 years, right? So in 2 years, a little bit further down the line, Ashley Stewart went from, it's a fashion business, right? Went from 3 million to 30 million in 2 years, 10X. So not only increase it by a factor of growth, also crunch the time further, squeeze the time out. And the most recent client, let's fast forward it even further now, right? Because remember the policy I said, it's 1% improvement. That applies to the AD method itself, the framework of AD method. You need that needs to have built into it its own improvement over time. So it's possible that if we were to do this podcast, maybe 2 years from now, I might tell you like, oh, I'm doing 2X in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's possible. Yeah. Or I'm doing 4X in 12 weeks. Right. So either one of those things, because it's constant improvement, it's continuous improvement. And once you remove the element of ego from the equation, what I've seen is you're focused on purely on it works or it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, okay, let's move on. Right. Yeah. If you attach your ego to it, go like, why didn't it work? I'm such a genius. I was on a pedestal yesterday. Like, why is it not working? It's my idea. All that is ego. As soon as you do ego, you fail 100% of the time, right?
Yeah.
When you remove the ego, it's purely math. Like, it excites me every day when I see 10 orders go to 12 orders, 12 orders goes to 14 orders, 14 to 15. Okay, we are still at 15, but the average order went up by 20%. Great, right?
Yeah.
So every one of those things is improvement and looking at that. So over this 25 years, this 8D method was a repetition, daily repetition over 25 years. It's like perfecting your best dish you make as a chef, right? But you're perfecting it every day by tweaking the exact amount of salt you want to put in and pepper and, you know, all the spices and cooking it exactly just right to the right heat. That's what I've been doing. I'm a chef from an e-commerce perspective in the e-commerce kitchen, right? That's what I've been doing over 25 years, day by day. And it's not only in one category. I've worked across many categories. I've even worked in very odd categories like plumbing supplies, you know, and very odd. That's very niche also, right?
And
seeing how you can grow that to helicopter parts. Imagine that, helicopter parts.
Wow. So, super niche.
There are things like that. But then obvious ones, obviously, like electronics and fashion and vitamins and supplements. I've helped launch the health and wellness section of Amazon as I was, I was running Vitamin Shop. Amazon, actually, Jeff Bezos called us to say, hey, would you like to partner with us to help us launch the third-party marketplace? And it was a brand new concept at that time.
Wow.
So I got involved with that.
Yeah. And I think I want to make emphasis on something like the ego part. I really want to make emphasis on that because especially in the Amazon community, that's what I feel is unfortunately it's creating so much frustration among sellers because I feel they are getting attached to all methodologies of how Amazon used to work in terms of how you were getting position, how you do advertisement, how easy it was in the past, which is not the case anymore. And they get attached to what you're saying, like, I was the number one seller 2 years ago. Now it's not the case anymore. It's not my fault. It's the economics, the Chinese competitors, the factories are undercutting me. but they don't actually see the foundation that it just you've just been doing the same thing over and over, and that's what is basically killing your
business. Better yet, Vincenzo, you got lucky. You got lucky. Like, let's say, how many Amazon sellers came about when the pandemic hit, and they were trying to sell sanitization things, lotions, face mask things, all sorts of things like that. Where is that inventory right now? How is it selling on Amazon right now, you think?
Dead, yeah.
Right? So it's dead, completely dead, right? So you got lucky. The environment helped you, and it was not your genius at all, right? Yeah, even whether you're on Amazon, whether, that's ego. That's ego. That's exactly the ego thing that I'm telling you about. Whether it's an Amazon seller or Shopify store owner, same issue, right? They say, when I came about, it was so good that I was selling. I got it to $1 million. Why is it not growing now? Right? Okay. Tell me what happened. Oh yeah, when we had put this up, we had Mark Zuckerberg take his baby and put it in our swaddle. That's why we became very successful. Okay. Is Mark Zuckerberg one giving birth to more kids? Does he need more swaddle that you can take more photos of it? It was a you got very lucky during one incident. This is why when you're working on the business, the 8D method focuses on the fundamentals and foundations of your business. So the stuff that we do in 8D method, this is why it's not a tactic, right? A tactic works for a week or two, right? Or maybe you got lucky and it worked for a year, like the Mark Zuckerberg example. That's a real life example, by the way, right? So if you work on your foundation and you have proper foundation for organic, for building the business properly, when I say organic, I don't mean just organic SEO. I mean organic, all the organic channels. When you're doing paid, do you have fundamentally, regardless of the algorithm change, it doesn't matter if there was an iOS 14 update or, you know, how the cookies are getting killed by this June, July, even Chrome, the last beacon of cookies is going to be dead this June, July, gone, right? So when it comes to those things are reality. The reality is you are in a changing environment. That will change. What you can do for your brand is, what did you do for your brand? Or did you just depend on the platforms to do that for you? Like the platforms that were happy that they were posting social posts organically and they were getting a ton of traffic. How much traffic organically can you get from social platforms right now? Less than 1%, right?
Like so the people that are lucky with TikTok,
you cannot depend on those kind of things to hope and pray that, or you're too happy thinking that you're a genius, right? No, you're not a genius. You're just lucky that it's happening. Something positive is happening for you. But once you remove that, so many businesses went bankrupt. The ones that relied on the combination of Shopify plus Facebook ads. As soon as the iOS 14 update happened, I'm sure that you read it in the news. Oh, you know what? Facebook is not working. No, your business is not working. You should have pivoted to Google Ads. You should have pivoted to any influencer marketing or affiliate marketing or any of those kinds of things. And that's what at the core of it, that's what the 8D method actually stands for. 8 dimensions of your business, not just marketing. 8 dimensions of your business. So if you optimize these 8 dimensions and the first 5 dimensions, typically we execute in the accelerator program, we do it in 12 weeks. So the first 5 take about 5 to 6 weeks. And typically the sizable growth most of our brands see is in those first 6-7 weeks roughly time frame. And the other 5 weeks after that, from week 7 or 8 through 12, we spend it on dimensions 6 through 8.
Okay, interesting. So now that we have done this brief introduction about the 8D methodology, let's try to break it down. Like, let's start with, first of all, what are some of these dimensions? And also why you chose these dimensions to be part of the 8D methodology? Like, what is the main reason behind why is 8 dimensions and not 5 or not 3? Like, how you figure that out in the first place? Like, that's interesting. Yeah,
all based on experience. So again, it's not like it sounds good, because I couldn't even come up with an acronym that if I take the letters for each one of the 8, it would come out to something very cool, like grown up or something like that. It's not, I don't have anything, any acronym for it. So the 8D is the 8 dimensions, right? And the reason is based on experience over 25 years, right? So when we took these 25 years of experience constantly refining this model, we saw that there are eight dimensions that if you optimize these eight dimensions, your business not only grows, not for a short period, it actually continues growing because you're making fundamental changes to your business, right? And it just keeps on giving you compounding effect. So the things that we touch in one area, for example, ends up improving your ROAS on your Facebook ads, even though we didn't touch our Facebook ads yet to optimize it. Yeah. As is, for the same spend, for the same exact audience and creative, and I'm not changing any of those things in the first dimension, right? It's called performance optimization. So the very first one, the first thing that we tackle is your website, right? Yeah. Because your website gets all the traffic, regardless of what you do, you always mention your .com, right? Or in case of Amazon, it has to do with your brand store and your PDP listing, right? That's where you need to optimize that experience, right? And the one parameter that I use, only one parameter for performance optimization, even though there are thousands of KPIs, is one thing: consumers' attention span, right? Yeah. And you don't find that on Google Analytics or Amazon Analytics or anything. It's consumer attention span. Consumer attention span in 2024, when we are recording this, is 1.7 seconds.
Wow.
And there are three apps you got to thank for that. Number one, TikTok. Number two, Instagram Reels. Number three is Amazon app itself. Consumer's eye has been trained to ignore things beyond 1.7 seconds. And Amazon is really good at this. That's why they obsess about, have you ever used Amazon app that it was taking 4 seconds or even 5 seconds? That looks like a lifetime on that app.
Yeah.
Or TikTok, the next video is taking forever to load. People have been trained. And as 25 years ago in e-com, that number used to be 10 to 12 seconds.
Wow.
25 years ago. So if anyone says 10 to 12 seconds, that's very old period, right? In fact, in 2008, when Facebook came about, right? Facebook and you had Twitter come about, that number dropped down to like 6 to 8 seconds. And in 2024, 1.7 seconds. And what happens at this 1.7 seconds? If you did not make your point, and in case of an Amazon listing, your title and the image, the first image, if it did not click with the consumer, meaning that they understand that it is 16 ounces in the green color flavor of apple, and then they see the photo, yes, that's the right image, right? That's the right product. If you did not make that connection in 1.7 seconds, you lost the person. Every second it takes more of attention, the person is going to bounce off of your page, off your Amazon page, increases by 30%.
Yeah.
And what happens to your conversion rate? On Amazon actually has an amazing conversion rate. On a poorly constructed product page, poor, because Amazon now, again, has nothing to do with your product, not your ego, okay? I'm not stroking your ego as a business owner. It's thanks to Amazon itself. So Amazon itself has 14%, roughly 12 to 14% conversion rate on a regular listing, meaning that you have one or two product images. Your product title is the generic product title, 12 to 14%. Why? Especially if it's a prime product, right? If it has at least a badge that says that the price is right, 12 to 14% conversion rate. But if you optimize that page through this performance optimization dimension that we're talking about, that number can go to 30 to 40% conversion rate on your product. Or higher even. So what does that mean? What other things drive that? So like Amazon ads. So if your Amazon ads are giving you 2 for 1, like for every dollar you spend, you get $2 in revenue, two extra, you're lucky if you're getting two and a half.
Yeah.
Our Coloflex client, right, on Amazon with Amazon ads, and we're scaling those ad spend regularly now, right? It's a brand new brand on the platform. Yeah. Well, we're getting between 10 to 13x on Amazon ads.
Wow. That's
and big. With increased spend. This is a new brand, meaning that they don't have branded terms. Nobody knows them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is all category terms and competition and stuff like that. But the thing is, the emphasis is on the landing page, right? Look at the landing page. You have to optimize it to the max. And we actually go through a very prescribed way of optimizing that, right? And you can get both organic growth from it as well as better conversion rate out of every session that touches your product.
Yeah. And I strongly believe, to be honest, that before thinking about anything to do with advertisement and all the things I'm sure I'm going to come next in the conversation, like if you don't have the right landing page and at the same time the right elements, like you said, the pricing, the title, the images and everything, like it's just going to be a waste of, first of all, the time and then the money, because all the traffic is not going to have the highest chance of success towards becoming a conversion, therefore a sell. So, and I see this mistake all the time with Amazon sell. They always get stuck into the mentality that the issue is their advertisement, it's not their product, right? And they put so much effort and money into pushing more and more and more traffic when the actual issue, the fundamental issue is like what you're saying, like the conversion is very low and they don't really spend the time into optimizing, you know, the performance of the post. So I strongly believe it has to be part of the methodology, 100%.
So in the performance optimization, especially for Amazon sellers, right? When you're looking at the product highlights, for example, are you maxing it out? Are you, for every one of those bullet points, because that affects Amazon SEO, right? On-site SEO, right? Are you optimizing those bullets for that? Are you optimizing your title for that too, right? Not keyword stuffing, but being smart about it, right? And each one of those bullets on average should be between 250 to 300 characters. Ideal place, 275 characters for each one of those bullets. But is it that you're doing it for purely SEO reasons? First of all, most of them don't even do it. Forget about it. If I give them credit for doing it, are you doing it for keyword stuffing? Because that's one group of people. They stuff keywords in there thinking that it's going to help the Amazon SEO. But what does it do? It actually, what it does to the consumer, they think that's a fake listing because you're stuffing too many keywords, right? It's the consumer psychology itself, right? So how do you play that nice balance between using the keywords but writing something meaningful that sets you apart from your competitive listings that you have on the platform, right? And then further down, when you come down to, let's stay within above the fold, right? Mm-hmm. Product images. Are the images just front, back, and side view of your product, or are you really showing them cards that show you what the benefits are, or testimonials from Amazon reviews, right? Do you have videos that you can show, right? Are you encouraging your consumers to give you video reviews of your product, photo reviews of your product, so that you could put a nice caption on it and stuff like that, right? All that belongs above the fold inside of, you know, when they click on the one image, Amazon does a great job of showing you a thumbnails of all the images, all the videos, everything. So when you click on it, they can keep on consuming more of that content. When they consume more content from there, what is this? This person is now more bought into your product, right? Well, and then they look for the Prime check. If they have Prime check, at the car checkout, done, right? And if it's a good deal, you're giving them a good deal, not a price, not necessarily price. It could be a good deal, right? Good. Now, the other part of it is when it comes to the performance, especially for Amazon sellers, in case of Shopify, I would have given different type of an advice for AD method. Sure. It works for both of those popular platforms as well as all the other D2C platforms too, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to performance optimization for Amazon sellers, when it comes to Amazon ads, right? There's a big problem there, right? Mm-hmm. They go like, okay, you know, I'm going to go on my competitor's product pages, right? So I'm going to advertise there. Okay, that's good. But they said it and they forget it, right? Do you remember there was an infomercial that made the turkey, said it and forget it, right?
The thing is,
nothing in e-commerce is set it and forget it. You have to pay attention to it. Otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of money very quickly, right?
So that's
where you have to optimize the Amazon ad cycle and say, okay, you know what? Every Monday, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to review how my listings are doing, right? And one strategy that I will give you here, right, to your listeners is I call it a 7-day policy in AD method. 7-day policy. Yeah. 7-day policy is literally if you start a campaign, You give it a good budget, let's say $50 a day, right? Mm-hmm. You give it 7 days. In these 7 days, whatever you have, keywords, ASIN targeting, whatever, right? In these 7 days, did you get impressions? Okay, yes. Did you get clicks? Yes. Did you get conversions? No. You pause them. If you did not get conversions, you will pause them. The ones that did give you conversion, meaning that it's a very low bar in the initial phase of optimization. It's either zero or not zero. So if it's above zero, meaning it could be 0.1 ROAS, it's fine, right? In the first phase. You keep that one, you increase the budget so that you can see, okay, if I give it a little bit more budget, since I stopped running these other ones, I'm gonna still spend my $50, but I'm gonna give more budget to the ones that had greater than zero ROAS, right? Yeah. You run that for another 2-3 weeks. 2-3 weeks from now, our bar for ROAS is 0.5.
And this is important. You know why? Yeah, I just want to quickly make a parenthesis here, because there's also this thing in the Amazon community specifically that people are so eager to get results so fast. And when they run new campaign strategies and new things overall, they want to see results within 24 hours, 48 hours and everything. And it's good that you, at the same time, you explain the methodology that, you know, to some extent, you need certain KPIs to get built to make a decision. Because from experience, I feel most Amazon sellers, they kind of play more like a casino kind of roulette style, where they're kind of
slot reactive.
yeah. And it's not driven by data. So it's very important that you...
By the way, the number one thing I preach, this is the preaching side of 8D method, right, is patience. We will more than double our business in 12 weeks, which no one has been able to do in your business's life before. We will 2x it, but requires patience. And patience within 12 weeks. And once it becomes part of your behavior, you should do that ongoing. And here's the interesting thing. My first name, Sabir, means patience. Mm-hmm. So patience needs to be part of your culture, right? And e-commerce... if you're not patient, then you end up losing a ton of money very quickly and bankrupting the brand.
Yeah.
100%. So that's number one. And also on the product page, obviously, if you have brand registry, definitely go for the A+ content. But don't do A+ content like everybody else does, which, you know, what they do is they take the same product images and they just put it into the A+ content. That's giving you an editorial location for you to put something useful in there. Yeah. For the brands, I recommend to change their content out at least seasonally, right?
Yeah.
Seasons means 5 times. So 4 regular seasons: winter, autumn, right, fall, right, spring and summer, and holidays, right? At least 5 times, because your product use is going to be different during these 5 times of the year, right? So change it out and change out your story related to this A+ content, right? So use that as part of the optimization. Even though it doesn't help you with Amazon SEO, it 100% helps you with Google SEO, because the number one ranked site on Google e-commerce site is Amazon. So why wouldn't you want to optimize your do SEO like you would do for your Shopify site on your Amazon listing?
Yeah, super important. Super
so
important.
When you do these things with Amazon combined with Amazon ads, now your ROAS, you can experience 6 to 7x on that ROAS without any of the brand name and brand bidding, right? And when it comes to even then you can work on next level strategies like bringing on external traffic through Amazon attribution, so you can get brand credit, and you could also drive even more traffic to your listings so that you can make more sales and not be limited to just the Amazon ecosystem itself. Right, driving traffic from Facebook, from influencers, from Google Ads, even from your Shopify site directly to your Amazon listing.
Good. Now,
so that's dimension one.
Yeah. So I mean, and I feel it makes sense. Number one, because as I said, just to conclude on this idea, is like there's no point of thinking of any strategy or anything if the foundation, which is where all these traffic or strategies we're gonna talk next, are gonna land, they're not optimized towards a success, which is basically the conversion that we're looking to achieve. Now, let's talk about dimension two. I'm very intrigued. What would be the second dimension?
So number two is what people think is number one, is pricing, right? Okay. Pricing, to me, is secondary, right? Because if you are optimized there, and let me get this right for you, right? With pricing, when I talk about pricing, I don't mean like promotion, because that's what everybody does, right? Coupon. Even on Amazon now, in 2024, they introduced couponing, right? Mm-hmm. So you could do a lot of couponing, a lot of lightning deals, a lot of those kinds of things. Try to walk away from doing discounting, right? And a lot of e-commerce people, they start shivering, right? Because go like, no, but e-commerce is all about pricing and discounting and promo codes. No, that's lazy e-commerce and lazy marketing, right? And it has nothing to do with marketing. It has to do with sales, right? When you're talking about price, it has to do with sales. But how can you change the topic of pricing to be a marketing message, right? Mm-hmm. How many times a year do you think Apple reduces their price or gives you a coupon?
Never.
And if they do, it's a big event, right? Like back to school. Mm-hmm. They give you 10% off for the new graduates, right? So that they can go and get 10% off for their laptops and tablets and iPads and stuff like that, right? And it's a big event, just a gigantic event, right? Otherwise, everybody has to pay $1,500 for those iPhones, right? Yeah. So that's reality, right? And you can learn from that and go like, but I'm not Apple. It took Steve Jobs 40 years. Sabir, I don't have 40 years. Mm-hmm. No, but if you don't start, you will never get there, right? And when you're creating a product, right, there's a reason why you do. And I'm not talking about drop shippers, right? I'm talking about you created the product. There's a reason why you created that vitamin, because it has different ingredients in it and it's sustainable and it's organic and gluten-free. And you you're thinking about the vegans and make sure that the vegans are happy, right? So there's a reason why you created the product. And there's also a personal story you have to tell, right?
Yeah.
When you build the product based on that, now you can ask people for the price that you dictate, right? Mm-hmm. So even on Amazon, when you put that product up, and I'll give you an example. Coloflex is one of our products, that client products that we help launch, actually, from the ground up, from literally from a concept, we took it to launch. The concept was in the colorectal surgeon's head. He was thinking of creating this product. He didn't know how to. So we got involved at that level, all the way to number three spot in the fiber supplements category, competing against Metamucil and Benefiber, right? So, and if you look at the price of the product, is a premium product. Mm-hmm. We're not competing. We didn't say, oh, Metamucil sells per gram this much amount, this dollar amount. We have these many grams of this and our prices should be this. No, it's the value of this product from Coloflex actually works really well. And that's what we kept on hearing from the people who tested it. It's delicious. It just keeps working. It's just an amazing product, right?
Yeah.
So once you try it, you go like, okay, where do I subscribe, right? That's easy because it works. It just works for you. So you know keep on getting it, right? So, but compared to our competition in that scenario, if you have ever had Benefiber or Metamucil, it's a fiber product. You put in water, you mix it up, and you drink it. First of all, a lot of people have a hard time drinking that because it's very thick, right? Mm. Coloflex is a chewing gum, like a gummy. Mm-hmm. Teddy, gummy bears. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, you just put it in your mouth, you chew it, it works. Yeah. You know, it's easy to take. It's super easy and it's delicious, right? So we said, okay, this is going to be our price. And we became number three seller on the platform, not on price at all. So it's what you do with your product and how you tell those stories in the, you know, the product cards that you have in six to nine images that I was talking about. Did you do a little video that shows that why your product is different? Because people's attention span is 1.7 seconds. Can you tell an effective story quickly in the very first few frames of your video so that the person gets it and then they can watch the rest of the 10 seconds or 15 seconds of the video, right?
Yeah.
Then to them, buying decision, they already made up their mind. It doesn't matter what the price is. And once, especially in this case of Coloflex, when they got it and tried to go like, oh my God, this is great. It's helping me and it's delicious and it doesn't take up too much from me, right? And it's not, it doesn't taste disgusting or too thick or too thin or whatever. It just works for me, right? Yeah. So you have to know your customer and who is willing to pay that price so that if I even take, you know, the example I use is a cat water fountain, right? Mm-hmm. A cat water fountain, if you go on AliExpress, they have it available there. Yes. I can grab it. I can just list it, and then I can fulfill it on the back end as a drop shipper, right? Mm-hmm. Or I can buy inventory and I can sell it, right?
Yeah.
But if I take a product like that, that's a generic commodity product drop shipped, right? And if you go on Amazon, type in cat water fountain, you will see a thousand listings. I can guarantee that you'll see many, right? From all sellers, from all walks of life. But if I take the same product, now I have a cat. I love cats, right? I have a cat. Her name is Heather, right? Beautiful, very furry, white cat with black streaks on it, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful cat. Looks like a raccoon, you know, mm-hmm. opposite of raccoon, right? But it's a beautiful cat. I love that cat. So if I take that, now I don't use any of the images AliExpress gives me. I shoot my own photos with my cat, with me in it also, and my cat is enjoying mm-hmm. it. And I would even include some toys and other things, like the cat is spending time on my shoulder. I'm hugging it like a baby, all sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to outsell that water fountain? The people who took the generic photos from AliExpress, or the photo and videos I posted of me having a great time with my cat and my cat enjoying that water fountain?
Yeah,
that sets me apart. It's the exact same product. I can put it on double the price and people will buy from me over all of the generic listings, because they think that all the generic listings are fake listings. My product is the legit thing because I'm there and my cat is real, and everything I'm describing, I'm making that connection with them. So if that product sells for $10, I can sell it for $20 and people will buy my product over the generic listing, even though I'm doing the same exact thing. And for an example, there's a brand called Daniel Wellington. Your listeners should definitely Google that and look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Same strategy, same exact strategy. He did it in the watch business.
Yeah.
By building that price, the premium pricing into the brand and the product that was created. So that's and you should use promotions and coupons and those kinds of things and lightning deals strategically to enhance your premium pricing, exactly. Not in place of.
Yeah, I feel that's the mistake. People use pricing as a way to get sales because they're desperate and they fall into the trap that they think the only way they can get market share is by being the cheapest. And then when you do that many times over and over, you pretty much create a behavior where people, the only reason why they buy you is because they got used to pretty much finding your product for cheap. And then you dilute the premium or the value that you could actually bring in terms of uniqueness with all the branding. So I see that happening all the time with Amazon. People running all these lighting deals and everything. And then by the time they want to get to original pricing, they create a bad reputation already with pricing. And it's tough.
Yeah. But part of that dimension of pricing, you should always keep in mind your total cost of doing business on Amazon, right? So 15% on average in most categories is 15%, right? There are some select categories that have lower transaction fee, but the transaction fee is 15%. If you do FBA, on average, I see 18 to 20%. So if you take that higher number, 20% and 15%, 35% of your selling price most likely is going to just listing your product, selling it on Amazon, and FBA is fulfilling that order, right? So that's 35% of your margin is gone, right? Your product needs to be around, and you have not spent a penny on Amazon ads yet, right? Yeah. So keep that in mind, because all these numbers add up. FBA storage fees adds up. If your size is a larger size, that adds up, right? And then if you do Amazon ads on top of it, that adds up. And on top of it, you go like, oh, yeah, we're going to put in $1 off. That's margin. That's your margin. So what I see is if you are lucky and your margin in your category, like let's say if that's the transaction fee that you're in a category that's 15%, you should target about 65% minimum gross margin before dealing with Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's 65%, that means 35% of it is gone, right? Before ads, 30% is left over. So at least you know if you have a replenishable product, like a health and wellness product or something that could go on subscribe and save, right? So even if you give up that 30% for your ad cost, that's the A cost, that's how you add that in there. If your ACoS is 30%, but this is a subscribe and save product, you know that your max ACoS is 30%.
Yeah. Wow.
Right? Okay. That's how you add those numbers up. Now you know on the first transaction, you made zero. However, if you have subscribe and save, then the person says, oh, you know what? I love this product. It works great. Subscribe and save. So you start making your money back, your profit from transaction 2, 3, 4, 5, but your product has to be a replenishable product. But you have to know your numbers. The numbers, especially with Amazon, you have to know your numbers. In the dimension of pricing, cost is part of that also.
Yeah. Yeah, that's key. And I think that's a super important dimension. People get pricing wrong all the time. So it makes sense that it's such a high priority in terms of this conversation, because if you have the pricing wrong, like, the rest is not going to work. You're not going to have the margin to make the business work. Good. So now we have been talking about performance, pricing. Tell us about what is that
term. Now, number three is marketing. And when I say marketing, like I said, I clarified that when you do pricing promotion, that's sales. That's not marketing. Mm-hmm. And most e-com people, they don't do marketing. They don't do. The profession of marketing or the subject of marketing, they don't do any of it. Nothing.
I know.
If you pick up marketing 101, they don't do at all, right?
Yeah.
Marketing is what people talk about you when you're not in the room, right? When that Amazon buyer buys from you, that Amazon customer buys from you, right? And they really love this Coloflex product, for example, right? Mm-hmm. They go and tell their family members. They tell their friends. You didn't tell them. They're not like an affiliate or a referral code or anything. They just love your product. They just go and tell you about that. So marketing is about storytelling and sharing stories of your customers. In case of an Amazon seller, that has to do with Amazon reviews. It has to do with Amazon reviews, not just textual, but also ratings, photos, videos, anything that you can collect, and you should encourage more and more of it, right? And sharing those stories on your product page as well as on your brand store. Brand store is an incredible underutilized feature of Amazon, which allows you to do, because a lot of stores I see, all they do is take the same thing. They just show their product categories. That's it. But that's an opportunity for you to actually build on that brand story, to kind of build your foundation correctly and do a great job of storytelling. A+ content, you should use at least one of those modules as part of the thing. Like, we have served 10,000 customers with 4.5-star rating, and feature 2 or 3 of those, as long as you can qualify it, you're within terms of service, right?
Yeah.
Terms of selling service, right? So you can put that in there to say that, look, this is what Amazon customer, here's the verified purchase. Literally take a snapshot of it and put it into that block, right? That's part of your brand building. That's your marketing. It's your storytelling. And why are you limiting it only on Amazon? If you have social presence, why aren't you using all the social media channels? And tell that story to your influencers also, so that they are pushing the same story also about the benefits of your product and how great your products are and how it helped them get a 20-year-old skin like I have, right? I don't know if you're listening to this on audio, you should also check out the video.
Yeah, come and check it out.
Right? By the way, I'm a 51-year-old. That looks like a 30-year-old, you know?
Yeah, you look very young. You look very young, very young.
So whatever that is, right? You have to, as your product, I went on that segue there, but on your product, the point is, are you really celebrating or are you just collecting the numbers of, oh, it's 35 reviews I got. Okay, I got 50 reviews. Oh my God, we went from 4.5 rating down to 3.2 rating. We should not go below 4.2. No. What about the stuff that people who love you, take those, right? Take those and elevate it and elevate it and tell that part of your story, right? Most brands don't do that. They don't do an effective storytelling, especially with 25 years ago, I had the hardest time telling my stories, right, on the brands that I was running. But thanks to social media, you have YouTube to tell video stories. You have TikTok to tell short form video stories. You have all the social media platforms to do pictorial as well as textual storytelling. Mm-hmm. But most brands don't do that. They don't really use it. They use that, oh my God, we have 50% off Black Friday sale. Like, it's like one of those people you invite to your party, social party, and they come in and they start selling whatever they want to sell to your social party. You know, that's not nice. You don't do that. Yeah. Right. So why aren't you using the platform for building that platform? Why isn't the founder showing up on Thursdays to do a live AMA? Ask me anything, whether you're selling a beautiful, sustainable dress that's made from recycled material to the farming that you do for the coffee thing. And you're answering all the questions on how to make a coffee ice cream with your coffee beans. Right. Why aren't you doing that every Thursday? Are you so busy? Right?
Yeah.
That you're not doing that. And most people do the hard thing, which is giving up margin. Giving up margin, it kills your cash flow. So you're killing your future growth. That's what you're doing when you're doing that.
Super important. Yeah, I think 100%. Like, I feel the marketing people don't really think outside the box nowadays. They just go the traditional way, especially doing the example again with Amazon. They get stuck with only trying Amazon PPC. And they don't really think that's things outside the box, like what you say, influencer marketing, doing things with external traffic, doing things with a community, like so many things that people don't really do. And that's where realistically, when I jump on certain calls with clients and they complain about, you know, not having the performance that they want, and you analyze the competition, you realize that the reason for that is like, it's essentially because they're not doing things different compared to the competition.
I mean, I can tell you that this is how true this is, right? Amazon has given you two features, really great features, Amazon Live and Amazon Posts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Amazon sellers don't even know about that, right?
Yeah.
You could do Amazon Posts to actually stay relevant. And Amazon is actually pushing more of these 9x16 stories so that they can become a social selling platform in addition to being just a commercial platform, right? And the Amazon Live, they're trying to get into in the US, there are two channels called HSN and QVC. I don't know if you know those brands, right?
Yeah.
They are live TV show that sells 24/7. Amazon is trying to do the same thing on the platform. In fact, they have given that over to the sellers to say, you go and do your Amazon Live. So this AMA session I'm talking about, you could do it on Amazon Live and have an audience. You don't have to even go on Facebook to do that, right?
Yeah.
So Amazon knows the value of that this recommendation that I'm giving in this dimension with marketing and storytelling, that they're giving you the tools to do it, but most sellers don't do it, even though the consumers are looking for it. And your conversion rate could go up when you do effective marketing on Amazon.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, essentially, we have covered performance, we have pricing, we cover advertising. So we're pretty much reaching halfway.
So number four is product positioning and brand building, right?
Okay.
Your product positioning, the example I gave of that AliExpress product that I took and I branded it myself, that's an example of product positioning. I'm positioning it the way I want to tell my story about this product, how I position it, how it's different. Because you could take the same product, position it two different ways. One is for one type of people and one demographic, and the other one is for completely a different demographic, even though it's the same product, right? Yeah. It's how you positioned it. How did the brand position that product, right? And you could take the same. This is why when you do competitive analysis, I'm going to caution people to be careful. Because most Amazon sellers, when we say competitive analysis, they're looking at primarily at price. Right.
Exactly.
And you have to get away from that. You have to think about who will buy this product and who is not buying this product that should be buying this product. Right. Yeah. When you go through that exercise and you build content around your product positioning, right, in the product, you know, image cards, you know, at the top of the page, in your A+ content, on your brand page, in your video submissions, whether it's in the product or related videos further down on the page. Right? Because A+ content doesn't allow you to put in videos, not just yet. A++, A+ premium gives you that ability, but that costs money and it's available to only select sellers, you know, to premium sellers. So you could do proper product positioning on your Amazon page, right? And brand building is what I was telling you, the story that my relationship with my cat, and how the stories I can do with related to that. So if I'm doing that Amazon Live, right? If I'm doing that Amazon Live, which is a video stream like this, if I'm doing that and the cat is on my shoulder and I'm going like this and they're looking at my cat, now I'm putting the human element into that story. And my pet is part of it too in that story, right? And if I'm a fashion designer, maybe I have my models and I'm showing this new upcoming collection that I'm doing the live streaming on. Like I'm doing a live fashion show on Amazon Live, right? Mm-hmm. So there is ability to do it. It's just being creative and thinking about how you can build on that on your brand. Or you do coffee beans and you're actually going to, I don't know, Turkey or South America or whatever, wherever your farms are. And you took the video and you're live streaming that event that you're going through right now. You're building a completely a different relationship with that consumer, right? That's brand building and product positioning that helps elevate your premium pricing and your storytelling marketing dimension. Wow.
Yeah, that's such a smart thing. I feel that that's true. Like, especially when I have this conversation with clients, like they're looking to launch on a market, and you say it so perfectly, like the only thing they really use as a variable is pricing, but they don't really understand how they're going to position themselves on a specific niche to be different and really create that detachment from price, which is can come down to many other things. Like people don't think, like, you know, the value that you bring in terms of the feeling of using the brand in the first place, which is again something that takes time, but people like Apple, you know, brands like Apple are doing, or also the features and the technology that you bring that may be unique. Maybe you patent something, maybe you bring something unique in terms of an experience. So it's a very interesting dimension that I feel most people overlook, because unfortunately people just go on the basics and they think the only thing they can really use for positioning is a pricing, or sometimes like a color or like a packaging, and realistically that's not the way to really position your product, you know. So I mean, we have covered so far four dimensions, and to be honest, like, the amount of content and strategy has been an amazing value. Like, I'm sure we was taking so many notes. I'm really running and wanting to implement this. So, because I want to keep people engaged and create as, you know, as much noise in the community as possible to keep coming back. Like, we're gonna have this initial part, which we're only gonna share with you the first four dimensions, and we're also gonna have a second part, which you can't miss it out, which is gonna be the other four dimensions, which you need to come back to really figure out what is really the full picture, to really, you know, double your sales as we've been speaking so far. So I think in the meantime, what I want you to do, Sabir, is invite people between part one and part two to read your book, because maybe they want to get
ahead. Actually, I got one better for them, Vincenzo. Yeah. This upcoming Tuesday, I'm doing a live workshop. It's they just have to register. Yeah. It's growthbysabir.com/workshop, right? Yeah. So they can just show up. It's actually go through in more detail, even though I'm talking about surface level here. During the live workshop, we go through the case studies, so they can take even more. And it's a free workshop; they can attend, and if they like, from there, they could apply to the accelerator program where it's a paid program. That one that they would, I oversee it myself over 12 weeks. Then I'm hand-holding them through this in a group setting. I'm hand-holding them through this transformation, right? A 2X, minimum 2X. Some of our clients have seen 6.5X. So imagine $1 million seller get to 6.5 million. If it was a 500K at a minimum, they got to $1 million, right? And we have had some really outliers, like amazing growth in 12 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend them do, to go to growthbysabir.com to check out the case studies, or definitely attend. The most effective thing they could do is attend the live workshop, which is growthbysabir.com/workshop. And you could include it in the show notes.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to include that in the show notes so you guys can leverage and take part in the workshop. We also invite you to find the book. Like, for the book where you talk about the methodology, I know we're also going to do the second part to go in depth and really have the big conclusion. But for people who want to get ahead,
all that info is on the site. If they go to growthbysabir.com, all that info is on the site.
Awesome. So, Saber, to be honest, like, you blew my mind. The reason why I said that is because some people may assume some of these things are things that everybody should be doing, but I can tell you from experience, like, I have audited so many brands and clients, and these basics, like, most people, 80-90% of people are not doing correctly. And the fact that you outline this methodology in such a clear way is really going to help so many people to really stop doing the mistakes and stop pointing fingers. And instead of pointing fingers, like, really, like, we've been talking this whole hour, like, how this can really sit down, split test, and really figure out their business from top to bottom. So I can't wait for the second part, because in the second part, I'm also going to prepare other questions from my research and also my implementation of this first four dimensions. In the meantime, Saber, it's been a pleasure. And before you leave, you know, is there anything else you want to share to conclude this first part of this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, definitely your audience should check out that workshop, and I'll love to see them there. Once they apply to the free workshop, I also have a private community that they will be invited to join.
Awesome. Thank you.
So the way to get into the community is right now to go through the workshop.
Awesome. That's very good. So let's do that. And I'm going to put all information of Saber down in the description so you guys can find it. And thank you so much. And I can't wait to have you in a few days so we can conclude and have the big ending, as they call it. Yeah.
So it's a pleasure. Thank you, Vincenzo. Thank you so much for having me. Let's move on to part two when we are ready.
Let's do it. Let's crush it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.